We're continuing in the second half of Likut Imran, chapter 82, Torah Pei Beis, and we're up to the paragraph that begins with the words V'ikra HaTshuva, about halfway through the Torah. Before we begin, we dedicate today's shir Le'ilui Nishmas, Rabbi Yitzchok B'Rabbi Eliezer, whose yahrzeit is tonight on the 22nd of Shvat, and also Le'ilui Nishmas Tuvia B'Rabbi Yisrael Yitzchok, Yerachmiel Daniel Ben Gedalia, and David Yisrael B'Rabbi Ephraim. So far we spoke in this chapter of Likut Imran, we began with the pasuk Ochor Vokedem Tzartoni, that Hashem created man front and back, which Rabbeinu Zal defined as the concept of Keseder and Shaloi Keseder, going in order versus lack of order. And we spoke about Adam and Chava, and Rabbeinu Zal said when a person sees that things are not going the way they want them to, the way they feel it should go for their benefit, then the person needs to know that the implication is that the person has Gaiva. And Rabbeinu Zal went into an explanation regarding Chochma, Koyach Mo. Mo is the term that Moshe Rabbeinu used when he said that my brother and I are nothing. And Rabbeinu Zal said that when a person tries to take the aspect of Chava, which is Malchus, to themselves, then what happens is there becomes this concept of Shaloi Keseder, that things go haywire, things go not in the proper order. Then Rabbeinu Zal spoke about, he defined the concept of Keseder as the letter Yud, the way we pronounce it, Yud, Vav, Dalet. The Yud itself represented Chachma. The Vav is shaped like a pipe, like a channel, and the Dalet represents Malchus, which is very often called Dala Va'aniya. It's poor, it has no light of its own. Just like the moon or Emuna that are usually associated with Malchus have no light of their own. And then Rabbeinu Zal said that when a person, Chas V'Shalom, has Gaiva, and they try to take the Malchus to themselves, that instead of the order being Yud Vav Dalet, it becomes Dalet Vav Yud, Davoi, which is a term that's used to refer to sadness or destruction, Chas V'Shalom. And Rabbeinu Zal said, the last short paragraph that we had was that when a person sees that things are going Shaloi Keseder, they're not going the way the person would want them to go, the person should realize that this implies that the person has haughtiness and therefore should do tshuva and humble himself and try to emulate the mo, the nothing that Moshe Rabbeinu said about himself. And when a person does that, then Chava will return to Adam and there'll be Keseder and everything will flow properly. And this is where we'll pick up. V'ikar ha-tshuva hu b'chodesh Elul. Rabbeinu Zal says that one of the most important times of the year for tshuva is the month of Elul, which is the final month of the year, the 12th month, if we consider the new year beginning from Rosh Hashanah, from Tishrei. We know that the first word in the Torah, Bereishis, in the beginning, Hashem created heaven and earth. The word Bereishis makes up the words Be'alef Tishrei. On the first of Tishrei, Hashem created heaven and earth, which is what we call Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, the final month of the year, Elul, is the last chance for a person to review, to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, to review what they did throughout the entire year, and things that they should have done that they didn't do, or things that they should not have done that they did do, and to repent. This is the month of Elul. We've mentioned in the past, the Bnei Yisachar says that the first Mishnah in Ksubos begins with the words Noisman lebesula shnei moser chodesh, that in the olden days, when a girl who had never been married before was getting married, they would give her 12 months from the time she got engaged to prepare for the wedding, to prepare clothing and all kinds of other things that she needed for the marriage. So the wording is Noisman lebesula, we give a maiden shnei moser chodesh, 12 months. We know that each one of the months has a sign of the zodiac that corresponds to it. The sign of the zodiac for Elul is the maiden, Besula. So the Bnei Yisachar writes, Noisnen lebesula shnei moser chodesh. Hashem gives the month of Elul, which is represented by the maiden, the power of 12 months. that if a Jew shows that throughout the month of Elul, I'm going to try to be good, I'm going to try to be religious, I'm going to try to make amends for the mistakes that I made throughout the other 11 months, that can serve, the month of Elul can credit the person's account with an entire year of goodness, an entire positive year. So now Rabbi Nizal is going to give us another explanation as to why Elul is the month of tshuva. Ve'ikar ha-tshuva hu b'chodesh Elul, ki heim yemei ratzayim. The month of Elul, all the days in the month of Elul are days of goodwill, when Hashem shows tremendous goodwill towards Klal Yisrael. She'ola Moshe lekabel luchos achronos. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu made his third trip to heaven. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven three times, right after Shavuos, right after the Torah, the Ten Commandments were given on Har Sinai. Yesterday we read Parshas Yisroi, Kabbalas HaTorah. Right after that, we read that Moshe Rabbeinu is invited up to heaven. He goes up for 40 days, and he comes down on the 17th of Tammuz, and he sees the Jewish people involved in the golden calf, and he breaks the luchos, he smashes the tablets. He goes back up to heaven for 40 days, from the 18th of Tammuz, comes down on Rosh Chodesh Elul, telling the Jews that Hashem has not yet agreed to forgive us for the sin of the golden calf, and I'm going back up. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up on Rosh Chodesh Elul and comes back down on Yom Kippur, the 10th day of Tishrei, with a new set of luchos and with Hashem's agreement to forgive the Jews. Vayomer Hashem solachti kidvorecha. So the entire month of Elul is included in those 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur, which are called Yemei Ratzon, days of goodwill, days when Hashem showed favor to the Jewish people. Uposach derech kivusha lelechba. And Moshe Rabbeinu opened up a well-trodden path for us to go on. V'haderech she'osa Moshe hu kach. And this well-trodden path is the following, which Rabbi Nizal is going to explain now. Shemoshe kosher es atzmoi afilu lapochoi shebiyisroel. Moshe Rabbeinu attached himself and bound himself even to the lowest Jew, the person who is least religious. Umosar nafshoi aleihem. And Moshe Rabbeinu was prepared to give up his life in this world and even his life in the next world, on behalf of the Jewish people. Kamesha Kosuv, as it says clearly in Parshas Kisisa, Ve'imayim, and Hashem, if you're not willing to forgive the Jews based on my prayer, then Mecheni No, erase me from the Torah, and let me be the kapora for the Jewish people. Ve'ze Pirush, and this also explains what we find later on in the Torah. The beginning of Parshas Vayakel begins with the words, Vayakel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu assembled all of the Jews. Shem Moshe hoyo me'asef u'me'yached u'me'kasher es atzmoi im kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered together and united and attached himself to all of the Jewish people, afilu im ha'pochoi shebebchusim, even the lowest of the low. He didn't leave anyone out. Vezeh pirush, and this also explains what the pasuk says in Tehillim, kuloi sog yachdov. Literally, it means they withdrew completely together. But Rabbi Nizal explains this could also mean afilu kishani roya echot mi Yisrael she sog mikoil vakoil. Even when I see a Jew who has withdrawn completely from Hashem, kuloi sog. Despite that, I have to see to it that we should be together, we should be united, to attach myself to him. I must bind myself and unite with that Jew. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu did. We just read Parshas Yisroi, where the Torah defines a non-Jew who worshipped all the different idols, and Moshe Rabbeinu was mekarev him, he brought him close, he showed him tremendous respect and love. ki yesh bechinas elokus afilu bidiyuta hatachtoina, because there is heavenliness, there is spirituality, the presence of Hashem, even in the lowest level. Afilu ba'asora kisrei demisavusa, even in the 10 crowns of impurity. This is a term that's used in Sifrei Kabbalah. We know that there are 10 spheros of Kedusha. There are 10 midos that define Hashem's qualities and attributes. Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Chochma, Bina, Das. And corresponding to that, within the realm of Tumah, impurity, there are the 10 crowns of Tumah. So Rabbi Nizal says that there is the divine presence is found even in the lowest places, even in the 10 crowns of Tumah. Lekayim, to fulfill what the Pasuk says, Umalchusoi bakoil mashala. Hashem's kingdom rules everywhere, over everything. That bakoil includes even in the lowest levels. Vezeh bechinas chirik. And this is the concept of the vowel chirik, which is a small dot that's found under the letters of the Aleph Beis. The chirik appears on bottom of the letters. We know that there are some vowels that appear beneath letters, and there are some vowels that appear above the letter, and there are some vowels that appear side by side with the letter. The chirik is the example that the Zohar Kodesh uses, which appears on bottom, representing the lower elements. Kamei Shekosuv, as the Zohar Kodesh says, Uvechirik la'anchosolo lesato. And as a chirik, to draw it down below, to enthrone the Shekhinah, the divine presence of Hashem, below. Lahamlich lo al tatoin, to crown the divine presence of Hashem over the lower elements. Nimtza, Shebi Yisroel, Yeshpoi bevadai ezelakus. So what we see from here is that even in the lowest Jew, there is definitely the divine presence of Hashem. There's definitely a connection to Hashem. And once I realize that, then I can be with that person. I can attach myself to that person. And this is another interpretation of this pasuk. Kuloi sog, even a person who has withdrawn completely, seemingly completely from Hashem, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a Jew disconnecting completely. So therefore, there still is a connection. And therefore, yachdov, I am together with that person. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu set that example for us. So that's related to the lower elements. Now Rabbeinu Zalitz, in addition, Moshe Rabbeinu had another incredible quality. The more that Moshe Rabbeinu reached higher and higher levels, coming closer and closer to Hashem, attaining higher and higher levels of knowledge and wisdom and spirituality, he always found Hashem there. He always connected to Hashem. We know that the Gemara tells us when a person has arrogance, that's a disconnect from Hashem. When a person feels great, great in the sense of arrogance, then Hashem says, I and that person cannot exist in the same place. So here by Moshe Rabbeinu we see that even though he went to higher and higher levels of spirituality, of closeness to Hashem, he always found Hashem there. K'moshe Kosuv, as the Pasuk says, U'moshe olo el ho'elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Hashem. Ki begashmius anuroyim, because in the physical world, in the materialistic world, we see sheyesh odom shehu lamato bedachkus. We see that there are people that when they're on a very low level, when they're suffering financially, they don't have money and they're struggling, azai hu oived Hashem umakir oisoi. Then that person is religious, they serve Hashem, they daven, they learn Torah, and they have recognition of Hashem. Ukishehu nesal elamala, and when the person moves up the ladder, shenisasha, they become wealthy, azai hu shoicheach b'hakadosh baruch hu. The person forgets Hashem. and they start using that I word. I built this house, my company, I built up this business, my family, that attitude. And we find, in fact, that in a pasuk in Chumash, where the pasuk in Chumash Dvarim says, you're going to be successful, you're going to have build homes and have fields and acquire many possessions, and it says, be careful, he shomer lecha, that you're going to become successful in everything, v'rom levavecha, you're going to become arrogant, v'shochachto es Hashem alikecha, and you're going to forget Hashem, and you're going to say, koichi v'oitzem yodi, oso li esachai lazeh, I made all of this, I acquired all of this wealth. And Hashem warns there, don't say that, because Hashem is the one who has given you all of this success. So Rav Nezal says here, we see that in Gashmias, when it comes to the physical materialistic world, we see that unfortunately there's a norm like this, that when people are small, when they're not so wealthy and not so what people call successful, then they recognize Hashem. They know there's a Hashem, they pray, that they're religious. But when they achieve a certain level of financial success, they forget. They forget where it came from, and they forget about Hashem. V'David Omar, whereas David HaMelech said, Im esak shomayim shomato. If I go all the way up to heaven, you're there. Afilu b'shomayim shom yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even up in heaven, in the highest places, in the highest levels of success, you're there, Hashem. I know where it came from. I know it came from you. I know it's all yours. Bechol aliyah va'aliyah tzorich limtzoy shom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means, with every single elevation that a person experiences, the higher a person goes, both spiritually, financially, in all ways, the person has to always find Hashem there and find the way to connect to Hashem and to give recognition to Hashem. Umatsinu, however, we find that the Gemara tells us in Chagiga, She'elisha Acher, there was a rabbi in the Gemara, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, who was actually the rabbi of Rabbi Meir. And then he went up to heaven, Olo l'Rakia, Al Yidei Shem, he went up to heaven, using a divine name of Hashem, V'afal Pikein Kofar Be'ikar. And even though he went up to such a high place, he ended up denying the essence of Hashem. The Gemara tells the whole story about what took place at the time. So Rav Nosson Zal says, V'hadovar Tamua, it seems very strange and hard to understand. Ki Adarabba, you would think just the opposite. Ki kol ma she'odam nisala beyoser, you would think that the more a person goes to higher and higher levels, bevadai hu yoser koroiv lelakus, the person is closer to Hashem. That's what you would think. Ki kol hatoiv hu elikus, because all goodness in existence, anything that's good, is Hashem. Kama shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Toiv Hashem Lakoil. Hashem is good for all, meaning all good is Hashem. And the Tikkun Ezra tells us, if you take a look at Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, in Mispar Koton, where we drop the zeros. So Yud, which normally we say is 10, if we drop the zero, Yud is 1, He is 5, gives us 6, Vav is 6, 6 plus 6 is 12, and He is 5, 12 plus 5 is 17, which is the word Toiv. So Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, in this format called Mispar Koton, is 17, is Toiv. So we see that all goodness is Hashem. So the more a person is achieving higher and higher levels of goodness, you would think the person is closer to Hashem, and more recognition of Hashem. Vanu royim behepech, but we see in real life, we see the opposite. Kishe'odam bo ba'ashirus, that when a person achieves wealth, betoiv, meaning the person receives goodness from Hashem, azai hu shoycheach ba'kodesh baruch hu. Unfortunately, many people, the majority, forget about Hashem. So why is it this way? Rabbein Azal says, v'teida, you should know, shezeh bechinas, Vatichenu Einov Meirois. This is the concept of what the Torah says about Yitzchak Avinu, that when he became old, his eyes grew weak and he couldn't see. But note the wording, Vatichena Einov, his eyes became weak, Meira Ois, from seeing, which could be interpreted two ways. The simple way is, his eyes became weak from being able to see. Another way of looking at this, his eyes became weak from seeing, from the fact that he saw a bright light, a very great light, that's what blinded him, that's what weakened his eyesight. Machmashiniskarev beyoiser el oir alukus, there are people who, because of their coming too close to the light of Hashem, azai ho oir mache einov, then the light ends up dimming the person's vision, decreasing the person's vision, umazikloi, and it causes harm to the person. Kemoi kishodo mistakel be'etzem hashemesh, just like a person who looks directly at the sun, oir hashemesh mazik leinov, that the sun's light will harm the person's eyes. So we see that there is such a concept of a person getting closer to the light, and because they got closer to the light, that ended up weakening their eyesight. Avol yesh bechinas segol. However, there is another vowel in the Torah. We spoke about chirik before. There's another vowel called segol, which is three dots, two dots, and then a dot under it between the two above it. Kamei shekosuv, as the Tikkuni Zohar says, v'segol kad ihi bein train droyin demalka, that segol represents when the Shekhinah, the divine presence of Hashem, is between the two arms of the king. So that dot below, which we said is like a chirik, which represents the malchus, the Shekhinah, has these two dots above it that are like the arms that are containing it. Shezeh bechinas. And this is similar to what the Torah says. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, I want to see you, Hashem. And Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, a human being cannot see me and live. However, what I'll do for you is, V'sakoisi kapi olecha. Hashem said, I'll place my hands over you. Ki beloize hoyo oitzim oyer hakovoid mazik leMoshe. Because Hashem not put his hands over Moshe Rabbeinu, the light. Moshe Rabbeinu looking directly at the light of Hashem would have harmed him. Kamashikosev, as it says there, Kilo Yirani Ha'odom V'choi, a human being cannot see me and survive and live. And therefore Hashem said to him, V'ro'iso Esachoirai, you'll see my back, you'll see me from behind. And besides that, Hashem said, I'm going to place my hands over you to protect you, to shield you from being harmed by the light. David, and this is also what was meant by the prayer that David HaMelech said, V'achar kovoi tikocheni, Hashem, please receive me after, behind your honor, behind your kovoi. The word achar means after. The word ochar means also in back of, behind. Meaning, Rabbi Nizal explains, what David HaMelech was praying for was, Tekorveni behiskarvus shel Moshe, Hashem, please bring me close to you in the same manner that you brought Moshe Rabbeinu close to you. Shebikesh mimcha, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, Hareini noes kvoidecha, Hashem, show me your glory, show me your light. But you, Hashem, were careful that you showed him the back of your honor, the back of your light. Kamei shekosuv, as it says, v'sakoisi, I'll shield you, I'll protect you. V'ro'isa esachoyre, you'll see my back, not my front. Now note, this terminology, when we're speaking about Hashem, back and front, does not mean anything physical, chas v'shalom. There is no back and front by Hashem. This is the terminology that's used in order for us to be able to relate to it. The Sifrei Kabbalah explain that front usually means Hashem's kindness, Hashem showing us favor, when Hashem is looking at us favorably. And when we speak about kaviyochel, the back of Hashem, that represents the concept of constriction, tzimtzum, usually represents din, judgment, decrees, or at least it means a lessening of the light. The back is less lit up than the front. Any questions, please?
The back of Hashem Kiviyachol means his gevurah or his constriction. Is that why earlier we said that when Moshe was ascending Yosef Elyona, Matzah Sham Elakim, he found the, not, it doesn't say Yodke Vavke, it says specifically the name of Elakim, because he's not finding the front of Hashem Kiviyachol, but rather the back. Is that?
Seems correct. Exactly.
Thank you.
Now Rabbeinu Zal brings us back to how this relates to us. When things for a person are going not well, a person expects a certain order, they want things to go straight, and suddenly things are going backwards. A person wants to go forward, they want to advance, and not only aren't they advancing, but they're being pushed back, chas v'shalom, backwards. Shaloi k'seder. Zehu hisnagdus haratzoin. This is an example of opposition, meaning ani roitze shia kein adover, I want it to be this way, v'hadover lehefech, and it's the opposite of what I want. Shaloi k'seder. It's not going in the order that I perceive. V'ze b'chinas melchama. This is the concept of war, a battle. Kikol milchama hu hisnagdus haratzin. Because whenever there's a war taking place, it implies that each one of the parties is opposed to what the other one wants. Hu bechina shaloi kaseder. And that's this term of shaloi kaseder, disharmony, things not flowing in a straight manner. V'zehu, and now Rabbeinu Zal takes us to the pasuk that he started this chapter of Likutei Moran with. The beginning of Parshas Kiseitze. The Parsha begins with the words, Kiseitze la melchama, when you are going to go out to war against your enemies, meaning, kishehoylech lecho shaloi kaseder, when a person is experiencing this concept of shaloi kaseder, the things are not going the way I want them to, things are not going the way I think would be good, beneficial for me. Hainu hisnagdus haratzoin. A person is experiencing opposition to what they want. Unesonoi Hashem alaykecho biyodecho. And you want Hashem to give over your opposition into your hands. Meaning, sheyizbatel kol ritzoinois neged ritzoincha. You want all of these individuals that are opposing you, all of these factors that are working against you, you want them to work for you. Sheyelech lecho keseder, that things should go properly. Kirtzoncha, the way you want. Amosai, when will that be? When will that happen? Kad, you know when? When vishoviso shivyoi, the pasuk continues, and you will take some of those enemies captive. Rabbeinu Zal says, Vishoviso shivyo, you will take a captive, kishetiyeh bebechinas mo. This means when you will achieve the concept of mo, nothing. Kishetamshich lecho elokus, meaning you'll draw upon yourself the divine spirit of Hashem. Havaya bemiluy alfin, in the form of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, when the hays are filled out with alephs, meaning the hays are spelled hey aleph. So it's yud vav dalid, hey aleph, vav aleph vav, hey aleph. That's one of the four basic formats of Hashem's name yud kei vav kei that are described in the Zohar HaKodesh and Sifrei Kabbalah. So you'll attach yourself to ma, you will become ma, you'll connect to the ma. Vezeh pirush. And this is also what's meant by the term machshava. Machshava means for a person to think carefully. And the Zohar HaKodesh says the word machshava is made up of two words. Chashoiv ma. Think about Hashem. The word ma, mem hei, is 45, which is the numerical value of this configuration of Hashem's name that we mentioned. Kishetekasher tomid b'machshavtecha elokusoi, when you will always bind Hashem to your thoughts. You'll always have Hashem on your mind. Like the opening line in Shulchan Aruch, in Or HaChaim, says, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid. I always picture Hashem across me at all times. V'zeh b'chinas melech osur barahotim. And this is also what's meant by the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where it speaks about a king who is bound by straps. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Borehite Moichen Delach, through the straps of your mind. We know that a Jew, a man, puts on tefillin in the morning. The tefillin are these boxes, these four boxes, four compartments, corresponding to the four letters of Hashem's name. And we attach it to our head through these straps. That by this is in a sense a form of we're strapping Hashem to ourselves, we're binding Hashem to ourselves. The Zohar HaKadosh says this is what's meant by this term machshava, a person using their mind properly. What's the most important thought that a person wants to be thinking throughout the day? Thinking about Hashem, never forgetting Hashem. That's this chashoiv mo. Think about Mo Mem Hei, which is one of the configurations of Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, and also Mo means nothing. Think that I am nothing, Hashem is everything. This is the concept of a person, a man wearing a head covering, a yarmulke. One of the reasons it's brought is to be conscious always that there's something above me. There's someone above me. I'm not the top. There's a Hashem who's above me at all times. Women also, married women wearing a head covering, that's one of the concepts to remind myself of Hashem above me at all times. Vezehu, and this is what's meant by the pasuk, v'shaviso shivyoi, you will take some of them captive. Speaking about, again, the Jews going out to war against their enemies, and you'll take some of them captive. Rabbi Nazal explains, shetamshich mo. This is referring to drawing that Mo into your thoughts, into your mind. You will attach Hashem, the divine spirit of Hashem, in your thoughts. Ki kol dovor shenimshach mimokom gavoya nikro shevi. Because anything that comes from a high place is referred to as shevi in the Torah. As it says in Tehillim, Oliso Lamoroim, you went up very high, Shaviso Shevi, you took a captive. This is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu going up to heaven, receiving the Torah from Hashem in heaven. So it's called, you went up on high, and you captured a capturing, you took a captive. Vayideze yizbatlu kol hamelchomois. And by a person doing this, by always having Hashem in my mind, never forgetting Hashem, and binding myself to Hashem in this way, through this, all opposition, anyone that's opposing me, any wars and battles, will be eliminated. V'chol haretzaynois neged retzaincha. And all opposing wills will become nullified and negated to your will, to the person's will. We know there's a mission in Pirkei Avos that says, Batel Ritzoincha Mepnei Ritzoinoi, nullify your will to the will of Hashem, Kedei Shevatel Ritzoin Acherim Lirtzoinecha, so that Hashem will nullify all those that oppose you, all those that have opposing wills to you, Hashem will nullify their opposition to your will. This word Shevi that's mentioned here, you went up on high, and you conquered a conquering. And Rabbeinu Zal says here that anything that comes from a very high place is called Shevi. There are Meforshim that point out that the word Shevi has very, very incredible meaning. One of the greatest rabbis that went up to a very high place in heaven and succeeded in bringing down secrets of Torah and revealing it to the world was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The first letters of Shimon Bar Yochai are Shevi, Shin Beis Yud. After him, hundreds of years after Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, came along the Arizal, who took it to a whole other level. And many of the mysteries about Hashem, which were left unanswered and not clarified in the Zohar HaKadosh, the Arizal went ahead and opened it up wide and took it to a completely new level of clarity and explanation. The Arizal's name was Yitzchok ben Shloimoy, Rabbi Yitzchok ben Shloimoy, Yud Beis Shin, again, these same three letters. Hundreds of years after the Arizal came the Baal Shem Tov, who took it to another level, who took all the teachings of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal and the Arizal and brought it down and used it to lay the foundation for Hasidus, the whole Limud of Hasidus, all the Sifrei Hasidus of the Baal Shem Tov and his students were all based on the teachings of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and the Arizal, and bringing it to another level of clarity, making it, opening it up and making it more available for people, for Jews to be able to study and relate to. And he was known as Rabbi Yisroel Baal Shem. Again, Yud Beis Shin, Yisroel Baal Shem. And then we have Rabbeinu Zal, our rabbi, Rabbi Nachman, whose name, we know Rabbi Nachman begins the Likutei Maran with a paragraph about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, where he says, come and see the wonders of Hashem, how Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal is the one who promised that the Torah will never be forgotten. There was, the Gemara says in Shabbos, page 138, that there was a time that the rabbis got together after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. They got together in the city of Yavne, and they said there's going to come a time that the Torah is going to be forgotten from the Jewish people. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai stood up and he said, the Torah will not be forgotten. And he quoted a pasuk, Ki loy sishokach mipi zaroi. It will not be forgotten from his children, from his child. The word zaroi is written singular. And Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, revealed that that pasuk, Ki loy sishokach mipi zaroi, the last letters of those five words spell the word Yochai, the father of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So that when Rabbi Shimon quoted that pasuk and he said, the Torah will not be forgotten, mipi means from or because of his child. Whose child? Rabbi Yochai's child. That there's going to be a tzaddik that's going to come to the world, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who's going to make such a mark on the world. He's going to leave behind such a level of light in his writings in the Zohar HaKadosh that will ensure that no matter how much darkness comes to the world, the light will continue to function. The Jews will retain their connection to the Torah, to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal's name, Rabbi Nachman ben Simcha, his father's name was Simcha, Rabbi Nachman ben Simcha has the exact same numerical value as Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, showing the connection that these are all part of this pasuk, Olisol Amorim Shavisha Shevi, where the pasuk speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu going up to heaven and bringing down the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu and these other tzaddikim that followed, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Arizal, the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbeinu Zal, all of these are called Yechidei Hadoiros, outstanding individuals who came once in many generations and left an eternal mark in the world, in Klal Yisrael, to ensure the continuity of the Torah, the continuity of the light of Hashem in the world, and which will eventually lead to the final Geula, to the final redemption. Any questions? Now Rabbeinu Zal adds, V'zeh hasoid, this secret that we've spoken about in this chapter in Likutei Maran, about Keseder versus Shaloi Keseder, Adam and Chava, Hashem's name Mo, this thinking about Mo, and a person humbling themselves, never forgetting that Hashem is king. This secret is hinted to in one of the writings of the Arizal, the Sefer Eitz Chaim, Bahakdoma Bechlal Yutes, in the introduction to the Eitz Chaim, where Reb Chaim Vital Zal writes a certain number of introductory rules and ways of being able to understand Kabbalah, to be able to understand the teachings of the Arizal, he writes there 21 principles. Principle number 19 over there is related to what we just learned here in this chapter, and also Ubekavonois Rosh Chodesh Elul. Also, in the teachings that the Arizal reveals related to the month of Elul. This is something which Rabbeinu Zal discussed earlier in Likutei Moran, in chapter 6 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the process of tshuva, and he said that tshuva is a two-directional motion. A person would think tshuva means coming close to Hashem, but Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that there's no such thing as a person doing tshuva and just going up. The tshuva process involves going up and coming back down, up and down, forward, backwards, that kind of motion, and the ability to know how to handle the ups and downs. And in Torah Vav, Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, he quotes the pasuk we mentioned here, Im esak shomayim shomato, that no matter how high up I go, I always realize that Hashem is above me. I never forget, I never think that it's me, I'm on top. I made this. I did this. It's always remembering Hashem helped me achieve this. Hashem helped me accomplish this. Hashem gave this to me. Always remembering that. And over there also, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the Chirik. In chapter 6 in Likutei Moran over there, in the first half of Likutei Moran, there's a major, major piece in that chapter where he goes into depth, quoting from the Arizal, about different names of Hashem, where the segol is used and the chirik is used to represent these different levels, going up and coming back down. This concept of advancing and retreating, which is part of the process of coming close to Hashem. I mentioned when we started this Torah that in Likutei Halachos there are major chapters in Orach Chaim, in Hilchas Netilas Yodayim. Towards the beginning of Likutei Halachos, Rav Nosson Zal has a major chapter discussing the holiday of Rosh Hashanah based on this chapter in Likutei Moran. And there's also another, at least one, possibly two chapters of Likutei Halachos that expound on this. Any questions, please?
There's the typical things of giving tzedakah and setting yourself up to do more, possibly. Would those be the proper things to do when someone is in an upward direction?
The answer is yes. It's trying to do all of the mitzvahs, trying to fulfill the will of Hashem, whatever that is. In the morning, it means getting up in the morning on time to be able to perform the morning service of Hashem. In the evening, you know, on Shabbos versus weekday, at all different times, thinking, what does Hashem want from me now? Placing Hashem's will in front of me at all times and being conscious of the presence of Hashem at all times. And especially when a person acquires possessions, acquires wealth, always remembering that it's Hashem's. We know that before a Jew partakes, the Gemara says a Jew is not allowed to have any benefit or pleasure from anything in this world without first declaring and announcing that I know that this belongs to Hashem, that it's Hashem that's giving it to me. That's the concept of making a bracha on food, or making a bracha even when I see something special. I see lightning, I hear thunder, I make a blessing that reminds me that the lightning and thunder is from Hashem. A person goes shopping and they buy fruit and they pay for it and everything, and now I'm about to eat that fruit, that my fruit that I bought with my money, by saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Boyer creates, I'm acknowledging that it becomes mine only after I recognize that it's Hashem's and Hashem is giving it to me. Torah Pei Gimel, chapter 83. Rabbeinu Zal begins, Al Yedei Tikkun HaBris, by a person maintaining purity in the area of bris, the whole relationship between men and women, Yochol Lohoitzi Hachitzim, that will give that person the ability to shoot arrows, Shehi HaTfila, which is a term that's used in the Zohar HaKadosh to refer to our prayers, sending our prayers to Hashem. Tikkun HaBris is referred to as Keshes. Keshes means a bow. A bow which is used to shoot arrows. And the term Keshes is also used in the Torah to refer to the rainbow. We know that towards the beginning of creation, during the time of Noach, the Torah tells us that unfortunately, all of mankind and even the animals engaged in pigama bris. that there were illicit relations between men and women, and even among the animals, they were interacting in an immoral, improper type of way. That was called Pegam HaBris, and the Torah begins Parshas Noach with the words, Ki hishchis kol basar es darkoi el haoretz, that man desecrated their derech, their path, in the world. And Hashem decided, as a result of that, to bring a flood to the world, to destroy the world. And then afterwards, Noach HaTzadik brought sacrifices and he prayed to Hashem. And the Torah tells us that Hashem promised that never again will there be a flood like this that's going to destroy the world. And if ever things do become terrible, if ever people do engage in this level of Pegam HaBris, immorality, Hashem said, I'll place my rainbow in the sky. It's called rainbow. In English, it's called rainbow. In Hebrew, it's called keshes. That same word that means bow, a bow and arrow, is the same word that's used to refer to the rainbow. Hashem said, I'll place my rainbow in the sky, and that'll be a reminder. That'll remind me and you, all of mankind, of this covenant, this promise that I made, never again to bring a flood when there'll be chas v'shom, even when there'll be major immorality, Pegam HaBris. So Rabbein Ezal says here, al yedei tikna bris, when Jews conduct themselves with purity, with morality, the way the Torah defines morality, shehu keshes, which is associated with this bow, with this rainbow. We know the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal was once told about a certain rabbi. They told him he's very great. This was, I believe, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Shimon said, I want to know how great he really is. Was the rainbow seen during his time? If the rainbow was seen during his time, then he's not that great. Because Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal said, during my time, the rainbow is not seen at all, implying that he was so great a tzaddik that his purity, his holiness, protected the entire generation during his lifetime, the whole world. So now Rabbein Ezal says, through Tikkun HaBris, which is associated with this term keshes, also because of the fact that the seed that comes from a person, the Gemara uses that terminology that in order for the seed to be able to produce, it has to shoot like an arrow shot from a bow. Otherwise, if the seed is dripping out, if it's coming out weak, it's not able to produce. So this term keshes is used in several different ways regarding bris. So Rabbein Ezal says, when a person has tikna bris, yochoy lohoitzi achitzim, that person can shoot arrows, shehi hatfila, which is prayer, Shehu Chai Birchon Detzloisa, which refers especially to the peak of prayer, which is what we call Shmoina Esrei, the 18 blessings. Shehem Tlas Vovin, which the Zohar HaKadosh says, the number 18 is 3 times 6. And the letter Vov in Hebrew is shaped like an arrow, like a stick. So the Shmoin Esrei represents these three vavs, Bechinas Chitzim, these arrows, Umekoimam Babris, and their original place, these arrows originate from the Bris. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ubrisi Ne'emenesloi, my Bris will remain faithful to him. So the Pasuk connects Bris and Emunah. Emunah Zebechinas Tefillah. And we know throughout Likutei Moran that the term Emunah, faith, is associated with Tefillah, prayer, based on a pasuk that we had a week ago at the end of Parshas Beshalach, where Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to do battle against Amalek, and the pasuk says, Vayehi Yodov Emunah. His hands were outstretched in a display of faith in Hashem. And the Targum says his hands were outstretched in prayer. It's interesting that that's one of the last psukim in Parshas Beshalach. And in Parshas Yisroi, the Zohar HaKadosh begins Parshas Yisroi quoting a pasuk and showing, the Zohar HaKadosh shows there, that if a Jew ever raises their hands for any purpose other than prayer, they bring judgment, severe judgment upon ourselves. Because the 10 fingers of the hands, when a person, the only time a Jew wants to raise their hands is in prayer, in prayer. And the Zohar HaKadosh says there in the beginning of Parshas Yisroi that if a Jew is Zohar, when they're praying, to get so into it that they lift up their hands to Hashem, the 10 fingers, there are 10 angels that are connected to these 10 fingers, and the flow of Shefa, the flow of bounty from Hashem, is sent down via these 10 angels and received by the person. And Rabbeinu Zal continues, V'oz hascholas tzmichas keren Moshiach. And when there is this Tikkun HaBris, which enables the person to pray properly, then the ray of Moshiach begins to shine. Bebchinas, as the pasuk says, Atzmiach Keren LeDavid. Hashem says, I'll cause a ray of light to shine for David. Bebchinas, Karnayim MiYodoiloi. And as the pasuk says, these rays of light from his hand are upon them. Yodoi, the hand, zebechinas tefila. That represents tefila, as we said. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were outstretched in prayer. Utfilois heim shloisha. And we know basic daily prayer is three. Shachris minchen arvis. Ki klolius Moshiach ba'ovois. Because the whole concept of Moshiach is encompassed in the three forefathers of the Jewish people. Hainu Moshiach, Shehu Hadibur, Sheboi Mispalel. The term Moshiach, which means the anointed one of Hashem, the term Moshiach also means speech with which a person prays. Bechinas Mesiach Ilmim. As we say in Nishmas on Shabbos morning, that Hashem provides speech to those who are mute, those who can't speak. So the word Mesiach, which is exact same letters as Moshiach, means speech. Hu me'esh mayim ruach. And we know that the power of speech is dependent on three things, three of the basic elements from which the world is comprised and the human body is comprised, which are fire, water, and air. In order for a person to be able to speak, these three elements have to come into play. We find throughout Likutei Moran and throughout the different Sforim, they show how these three terms play a role in speech. For example, we know that when a person is cold, when a person's feeling cold, this means physically cold or emotionally cold, they can't talk. Speech comes from a warmth or a passion inside of a person. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Cham libi bekirbi, my heart is warm inside of me. Behagigi tivareish, when I'm thinking, a fire is burning. Dibarti belashoini, and I give that forth with the words that come from my tongue. That's this concept of the fire associated with the tongue. We know that when a person's mouth is dry, when a person's throat is dry, they can't speak. Dovid HaMelech says, Nichar groini, my throat is completely dry, parched, I can't talk. So that's this element of water in the speech. And ruach, the whole concept of speech, there's a pasuk in Bereishis which says, Vayehi Odom Lenefesh Chaya, man became a living being, and the Targum says, Leruach Memalala, a spirit that speaks. So again, this concept of Ruach in speech. There's a pasuk, Hashem Yiten Oimer, Hashem gives forth speech. Oimer means speech also. The word Oimer, the Aleph is Eish, the Mem is Mayim, and the Resh is Ruach. These concepts are mentioned in several places in Likutei Moran, in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Hasidus. And we'll see, Rabbeinu Zal is going to show us, he's going to take this further and further in this chapter. Any questions before we close?
Rabbi Maimon, in terms of raising the hands, is it all right to do it when you're dancing over, a kedusha?
Yes. If a person is clapping their hands in an expression of joy, spiritual joy, that's okay, definitely. What it's really talking about is a person lifting a hand, chas v'shalom, to hit somebody or to show my greatness, that kind of thing. There, a person should be careful to avoid raising their hands in that kind of way. Wishing everyone a wonderful week, a good week to all.
Thank you, Rob.
Sure. Thank you.
Charles.